Well, Robbie, first of all, just talk to us a little bit about your background in with the Phelps, but also with tourism and this part of Kentucky.
Sure. Well, I'm from Anderson County in Lawrenceburg. I live in Lexington, but my people go back in Anderson County about seven generations on one side and five on the other. So I have a lot of attachment to the way this place feels and its magnetism and the landscape and the hug of the hills and so many things related to Anderson County. And it happens to be that my office, which is the tourism office, is located inside the History Museum. So my first touch point into Van Buren Village as the actual village before the lake flooded it is was in a drawer here. And when I first started this position in April of this year, 2022, I was digging around and just kind of reorganizing files and getting my sense of the place and found this file on Van Buren Village. And that led me to Dr. Phelps and Imogene and this incredible property doesn't even capture what happens there. It just doesn't. I mean, it's property just makes it sound like static real estate. And it's just so much more passionate and visionary and incredible than just a piece of property.
And you were able to see it when he had all the antiques still in the country store. Is that correct?
No, I didn't.
You missed that?
I didn't. I was told by the PVA, Brian Stivers, here in Anderson County, about this place. I started sniffing around once I found this file with all these incredible pictures and magazine articles. And that's where I first discovered the antique collection. Of course, you couldn't have captured the antique collection in photos. I mean, you would have had to have done video and really just be there to see what he had collected. And I had heard from the county judge and from the PVA about this place once I was like, hey, what's up with this Van Buren Village place? And how come nobody seems to know about it? And why aren't we doing anything? this looks like a gem of a place. And, you know, when I first heard from Brian and the PVA and Judge Britton about this collection by this doctor, Dr. Phelps, and they described him as private and, you know, old and private and sort of not really interested in a lot of people knowing about this property. And of course, that isn't really true when you talk to Dr. Phelps about what his vision for this place was. So I never got to see it, unfortunately, with all of the antiques. But as described, Brian said, you know, you could walk into this country store and it felt like you had been thrown back into a different time. Like you looked at your own clothes, like these are totally out of place. You know? I'm from the future in this incredible country store where he said, you know, it seemed like you could buy a saddle and some flour and a dress for your wife right out of the store.
What were your first impressions when you drove down that gravel road and you drive for a little while, you don't really see any buildings, and then all of a sudden there it is? What, just take me back to that moment, to what you thought.
Sam, if I could, I'm gonna take you back to the moment of driving through the whole area, because I hadn't been to that part of Anderson County, even though I'm from here. Mm-hmm. And I was captured by the landscape from the get-go, like almost as soon as you turn into that area, the rolling hills, the ridge lines, you know, you're on sort of water area because of the way the landscape, the topography is just enchanting. And then it kind of sets you up to turn down this driveway. You hear the crackle of the road and you start to see these bridges. And then you know, come up into this country store and corn cribs and a cabin. And my first thought was, you couldn't have described this to me and I would have felt like I do seeing it. You are, it's not a transportation back into history. It's just a transportation into a vision, into a landscape of this person who I hadn't met. You know, you don't really come upon Jerry's terrain until you get to the very back of the property. But to see this collection of cabins in a country store, and they're so maintained and the grounds are so maintained, and it looks like it should already be populated by people wandering around. I mean, it feels like I'm a lover of Shaker Village. I love that place so much. It has such a spirit and a feel about it, a magical feel about it. I kind of felt like that, like there should be people here. There should be markers and history telling and, you know, people guiding you to here's this cabin and here's that cabin. So I felt immediately like I was in a place that should have had more people parked there and wandering around than it did. But that maybe is a little bit of my bias as a tourism director, that I immediately saw it as a place that people should see.
So it's never been a place, as I understand it, where he would open the door, so to speak, to the public and charge people, for example. He never did that. He did keep it, it seems like, fairly private, but would welcome people, you know, I think that wanted to see it, especially family and friends. And correct me if I'm wrong on all of that. From a tourism standpoint, did we miss the boat on this place? Or is it more private than that and really it was his doing? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, I think, Sam, you might have gotten this when you talked to Dr. Phelps, but I think he wanted this to become a public place. I think he wanted it. I think he still wants it to become a public place. I think, you know, once he had his collection of antiques there and really that became sort of a private passion, I think he became very protective of that space because of the antique collection. And I do think now, just from talking to Jerry multiple times, that I think there's a bit of a lament that it hasn't already become public. And I do think that his intention for this place, and why I'm so driven to want to see this happen too. And it's partly because I think when I've talked to him, he's has said to me that he wants this to be something for the public to experience, that he wants these buildings and the story of these buildings and the potential of this place to really see its future. And, you know, I do think that, do I think we've missed the boat? I think it's a tricky place because unlike Shaker Village, it's not endemic. It's not like Van Buren Village people made this place.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry made this place out of a collection of buildings that had historic value, but weren't seen as valuable until he saw them.
Mm.
And, you know, like, I don't know if he told you the story of the Gillibrand cabin, but it was being torn down when he went and got it. And he told me, he said, Robbie, I never intended to, I didn't even have my house here when I first found this cabin. Mm-hmm. I never intended to own a cabin and move it and put it out here. But his belief in gathering and collecting and assembling this story that is a collection of stories from across Kentucky is unlike any other place you will ever be. And so do I think we missed the boat? I don't think we knew enough about it to get on the boat. And now that we do, if we don't foster it and if we don't nurture that and help whoever has the, you know, the will and the money and the determination to turn this into what it could be, then I think we will have missed the boat if we don't assist in that process.
Gotcha. I think he mentioned, I may be wrong, but see if you can help me on this. I think he mentioned that, you know, he approached the state of Kentucky and said, hey, I've got 7 cabins that all of the wood is authentic from, you know, more than 100 years ago, and it all came from Kentucky. It came from Kentucky families, and it just didn't work out, I guess, for the state to say, yeah, we'll take it over or we'll buy it or whatever. Is this a really special collection of cabins that is unlike anything in the state, or are there other places like this?
This is unlike anything in the world as far as I know, Sam. And I know I'm being hyperbolic, but look, this one, where else are you going to go? Where one vision, one person, you know, and he's had the help of Imogene and his children over the course of his life, but this one person had the forethought and the care and the generosity of history to gather up and collect each of these cabins and the stories of the families that built them, and put his own money and his own time into making sure they were historically put back together. The stonework inside these things is incredible. The stonework foundations is incredible. And he made sure to get the right people to do it right. I would task anyone who's traveled all over to tell me where there is a space that is the vision and passion of one person that has collected this history in one place. It isn't endemic to the place, but what is endemic is this one vision and this one passion in that place to work on this for, what is it, 52 years now of his life? Mm-hmm. He's been stewarding this history. And I don't know that there's any other place where the stewardship of this history has been collected in one, you know, 68 or 70 acres or whatever it is at this point. I know it used to be 100, but it's not that now. So I am challenged to know of another place that has that particular story. I think that is what is so unique. And of course, you get out there and it's like, the cabins themselves are incredible. The corn cribs are incredible. The country store, that tongue and groove work, the craftsmanship is incredible. His house is incredible. I don't know where you would find a place like this. And not to mention four covered bridges and four ponds and woods and grounds and a lake view at every single turn. You can see the Taylorsville Lake view. So I think it's an incredible place. And I think when you get out there, it's one of those places that you have to step your feet onto that ground to really go, wow, 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 wow.
So in a perfect world, what happens to it? I know that he says some have considered a bed and breakfast, but then you've got to bring in water and sewer to all those cabins, which is going to be pretty expensive for most people. What happens realistically and hopefully with this, do you think?
Well, I think it's going to take another visionary to make it a tourist destination. And I 100% believe it could be. To make it a tourist destination, I think it's going to take someone who has vision, but also real practical skills. You know, this isn't a property because of the amount of work that needs to be put into it. And let me say this for the listeners. Jerry already has it ready to go for sewage, ready to go for electric, ready to go for all of that, for HVAC in the country store. It just has to be finished out. Now, it's going to be expensive for someone to do it. And I don't mean $5 million expensive, but I can imagine it would be $500,000 to $1 million to finish out those cabins in the country store. In a perfect world, I think you have, you know, a group of people who've done a similar project, who see it and have already accomplished a similar thing somewhere else, that aren't afraid of what it would take because they understand that anything that is a destination and is an opportunity to create an experience unlike anything anybody else will go to. And I know from demographics of current tourism, you know, we are being bookended by empty nesters who no longer just want to have property and stuff. They want experiences. They want getaways that remind them why they fell in love with each other after their kids are gone. They want experiences where they drive out in the country and take a joyride, you know, across places like Central Kentucky. It's one of the reasons people, they're not just, you know, here for the bourbon or here for the horses or here for the lakes. They want that slow joyride out into the countryside that's mythical and romantic and iconic. And millennials and, you know, are even younger, they're not interested in stuff because they realize that that's temporary and it impacts the environment. And they're not concerned with that. They want experiences. So, you know, we're almost at a perfect time where if the right people could, you know, saw this place. And I think there have been a couple of groups that are the right people to take over this space and treat it with the respect and honor that it deserves and know how to carry it forward into the future in a way that makes sense. I think we're at a prime time for the way people want to experience each other, the way they want to experience other communities, and the way they want to discover themselves, that this is the perfect time for the right people to take over this space. On the other hand, you know, I can also see someone who really just wants an incredible Lakeview with an incredible house and has the wherewithal to maintain those buildings, but doesn't see it turning into a tourism destination. It becomes a private property. At the end of the day, as long as someone doesn't just come down and raise those buildings because they're kind of a pain in the butt to maintain, that's the thing that would be heartbreaking. You know, so whether it's private ownership, as long as someone has the money and the understanding that they really should, again, steward this place so that it is taken care of, even if it never becomes a public space. The ideal situation, obviously, Sam, would be to carry Jerry's initial vision for it, which would be to maintain it and grow it and open it up to the public.
Robbie Morgan, thank you for your insight. We appreciate it. And it will be very interesting going forward to see exactly what happens to Van Buren Village. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.